Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
It's time for the B-A-Q-A-A, the B-A-Q-A, what you say? The B-A-Q-A with Mandate. The B-A-Q-A with Tiffany. The B-A-Q-A-A.
Hey.
Happy New Year.
Hello, beloved B-A-Q-A listeners.
Yeah.
Let's get
back in the stew. Ooh, I forgot that word.
We're bringing back in the stew. I was also blown away by how many questions we had when we came back from the holiday. I was like, y'all were busy. Getting your lives in order and asking us to help.
Back in the day, we used to have to ask each other questions. Now you guys want to know.
Oh, good. We got some juicy money questions. If you guys want to submit a question to the show, you know how to do it. Go to IG and slide into our DMs. If you'd like a chance to be seen in the studio in person and get your answers questioned live, or wait, questions answered live? Wow, baby brain. Then submit a voice note through IG. You get 60 seconds to make your pitch for your question, and producer Imani may reach out to you and invite you on the show. Otherwise, you can go old fashioned and email us. We're brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com.
We're going to do some moolah questions this week.
Money, honey.
We're going to jump right in with Ronia, as I wrote it. No, well, Ronla.
I saw Ronla.
Girl, that
you
that
added like three different letters to that.
I swear I can read. Ronla says, enjoying your content as per usual. Quick question. What hurts your credit score more? Lack of credit mix or low available credit that affects the debt to income ratio? And pourquoi? Why? Keep up the great work. Ronla, great question. Well, Ronla, there are five components to your credit score, right? And so these are two of the components, and they're literally on the opposite ends. So credit mix is 10% of your score. So credit mix just means, do you have a mix of ways that you're borrowing and paying back money? So one of the ways is revolving debt. That's basically credit card debt. You know, you pay it off, you could use it again, pay it off, use it again. There's also, it's a loan, but I forget the way, like the,
Installment loans.
Yes, installment loans. So that's just like, you know, I have a student loan debt, or I've got a car note, and then I pay it every month until it pays off, right? So they like to see a credit mix. And here's the reason why. Let's just say you say, like Mandy says, no, let's do me because I'm not a good cook. Let's just say, I'm like, well, I'm a good cook. I don't like, you're like, and Mandy says, what you make, girl? I was like, spaghetti. You know, and like, what else, girl? You know, some other pasta dish. And it's like, girl, you ain't a good cook. You good at noodles, right? Because it doesn't show that I have a wide range of experience in doing a wide range of dishes. So I'm not really a good cook. The same thing for your credit. If you only have, you're like, oh, I have five different credit cards. It's like, okay, great. You're good at revolving debt, not necessarily other types of way to borrow and pay back. Okay. But that's only 10%. You don't have to do anything there except for live a little longer, right? As somebody's grandma would say, you just got to live, child. Because as you get older, you will incorporate naturally different types of debt. So that's 10%. Now 30% is your basically amounts owed, you know, meaning how much, when you said how much credit do you have available, that's basically amounts owed, meaning what you could borrow from what you have borrowed. That's huge. And that's usually the thing that's taking people's score, because 35% is like payment history, meaning like, do you pay off every month? Do you pay off in full? That's great. But, you know, people don't realize that even if you're making your monthly payments on time, if you keep high balances in relation to your limits, then you're tanking your score. Ideally, if you want to raise raise your score, you want to be under 15-10%, meaning if you have a $100 limit on your card, no more than $5-10 on your card. You know, if you want to maintain your score, you can stay at about the 30% mark and you'll be fine. And so the reason why it's more that I suspect credit bureaus think it's more important is because, you know, if you owe too much, then you are more likely to default and not pay people back versus if you have a variety of people that you owe, you know, the credit mix. And so like owing too much in relationship to what you could borrow puts you in a really dangerous space that if you lose your job, if you have some sort of crisis that comes up, that you're likely to not be able to pay anybody back. So Ronla, hope that's helpful. Anything, Mandy, that I missed from now on?
Yeah, it was really hard to keep my credit utilization low early when I was younger because my limits were so low and I didn't really know how to use cards yet. But that gets easier the higher your limits are. And also, I will say, if you have a lot of revolving credit card debt and it's tanking your score because it's like high in relation to your available limit, then maybe you could look into a personal loan, because like a debt consolidation loan, because a debt consolidation loan is not revolving. That's an installment loan. It's a fixed, like you have fixed payments. You're going to pay it off a certain, you know, after a certain period of time. So it helps you in two ways. Like it will immediately lower your, the balance that you're revolving on credit cards. And then it also gives you that mix of different kinds of credit. But that's of course, like you have to look at your own situation and, you know, to like compare credit card APR rates, like how expensive is your credit debt versus, you know, a debt consolidation loan and what rate you can get, and then actually pay that loan off. Because like some people get debt consolidation loans, you paid on your credit cards and then you're like, oh, I'm debt free. But no, you're not debt free. But yeah, good solid question.
Yes, keep them questions coming. What do we have next, Mandy?
Oh, well, should we take a quick break and come back with question number two?
Should.
It's a doozy. All right, BRB, y'all.
Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, BA fam. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. That's incredible. This is according to Indeed data and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 150 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Okay, it's smart. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/brownambition. Just go to Indeed.com/brownambition right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/brownambition. Terms and conditions apply. You need to hire, you need Indeed.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade?
lounge access. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply. And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. All right, BA fam, you know we work hard and we play hard, but when it comes to investing and having your money in the market, you want your money to be working for you. That's exactly what the Betterment Automated Investment and Savings app can help it do. Keeps your money out there working hard and kicking you know what. I love Betterment because it makes it easy for even a beginning investor to figure out how to put their money in the market and set it and forget it and be at peace with that, because you know Betterment has got you covered with their automated investment and savings app. Their technology is going to give you advanced tools that are built to help you maximize those returns. All you got to do is visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. All right, we are back with number two, a question from listener L, who sent us an email. Okay. L says, hey, Mandy and Tiffany, I am a home-owning single 40-something with no kids. I have a decent job with a good income of about $90,000 a year. Prior to this year, I was a public school teacher, and I decided when I started the new job to keep living as if my salary hadn't changed much. Ooh, I love that. I have money automatically deposited into specific savings accounts, but my emergency account took a hit when I had to replace my AC unit earlier this year. So unfortunately, all my accounts are in a building stage. As I mentioned, I own a home, and ideally I'd like to own a couple of homes, but I think it'll take me so long to build enough income to afford another one that I don't want to wait. My alternative is to sell the house I currently own and rent a place wherever I want, no longer tied to any one specific location. But I'm afraid that letting go of this house will be a big mistake, and that renting will open me up to a vulnerability that I haven't experienced. How do I know if selling my home is right for me? Thank you, Al. Oof, that's interesting. Okay, so she's like wanting to potentially sell her home, move into a rental so that she has income to buy another couple of homes?
Yes, and so like, I'm just listening to reading her PS about like her, I guess her house has flooded since then. And she was inspired to send this letter after listening to me purchasing a condo and wanted to be a rich auntie. She's like, I want that too. Oh. You know, because it just added some more context.
Yeah.
So, Well, let me take a step back. So what are you thinking, Mandy? Like, if you take a step back, like...
I mean, I feel like renting... I'm trying to follow her thought process. I guess what she's thinking is if I rent a place, it'll be cheaper than maybe the cost of a home, and I can save more for a new property. And maybe there's so much equity in her home that she has. I'm wondering, does she need to sell it, or could she use like a home equity loan?
Girl, that's what I was thinking.
Okay, good. Because I'm trying to like piece this together. Yeah, if you want to leverage the equity in your home to then purchase a second property, you know, a lot of ways that people do that is you can take out a home equity loan and then use that that loan as a down payment, you know, on your next property. I mean, and I'm assuming you'd want to like rent out that other property, which can be a great source of additional income. So I'm a little take a pause about selling the house and maybe see if you can, yeah, leverage that loan, home equity loan to have the funds to buy another property.
Because if you, L, which it sounds like you did, purchased your home before 2019, you likely have a lot of equity. Because remember, the houses, the prices, they didn't run them up, girl. And you in Florida, I know they ran your prices up. Meaning that you have a lot more, like almost unnatural equity, even though home prices have come down. It's only like the new ones, you know, like not like the houses that were bought prior to 2019, they got their normal boost plus the supercharge boost, you know? So I just say all that to say that like you probably have equity in this home. And ultimately, when we're making decisions, and I'm in this space now thinking to myself, like, do I want to get this condo? What do I want to do? Yada, yada, yada. That you have to ask yourself, money is supposed to do what's best for you. You are not supposed to do what's best for money. I'm talking to me and you, L. Because I almost missed out on purchasing this epic condo. We'll see. It's still on the, you know, still negotiating, because I wanted to get a super deal and I underbid. And so, because in my mind, I was putting money before what Tiffany wanted, which is not always a bad thing if you need to be in a financial space, you know, but I'm okay. And it's like, Tiffany, what is it that you want for Tiffany? And I want this place. So then I have to spend more money. And so I'm just telling you, Elle, I want you to get clear on what does Elle want in general? And so, because you can potentially get that. And to Mandy's point, you might say, you know what? Because I know you have flooding or whatever. You might fix the house. Let someone else pay the mortgage and rent it out. And if you want to go rent someplace else by yourself, you can still do that. You could own your home, allow it to continue to grow equity.
Yeah, I like that idea.
You know, let the streets pay. Let them girls pay. You know, and then Elle, you can live wherever you want, and your Airbnb, you can live that fancy life while, because the truth of the matter is home ownership is still a cornerstone for wealth in the US of A. You know, like, because I'll give you an example. My husband and I, and you know, Joelle and I, we had purchased this property from the city for $10,000. Okay, it was a teardown, basically. But we put $130,000 into that house. We've just now, I bought that house less than 5 years ago, just sold it to his twin brother for basically $300,000, like $295,000, $300,000. So you think to yourself, basically put $140,000 into it, got back, we doubled. That's what real estate can potentially, not every market, can potentially do, you know? Or what I could have done is I could have just rented it out and pulled money out to do whatever I wanted to do. So I'm just saying that when you have real estate, you have the opportunity for that level of flexibility. So before you're like, throw this house out the window, I'm gonna sell it, really consider, maybe I should just rent it out and see what like this rent life outside of this looks like.
Yeah. And I'm wondering too, if like, I get the sense, cause she was inspired by your story of like the rich auntie life, and she's 40, no kids, like girl, living the dream, not the dream, but like a different dream.
A different dream.
Don't you wish you kind of had it both ways? Anyway.
Yeah.
And like, you got this new job. I really want to know, I'm so fascinated by the public school teacher like journey. And I want to know what your new job is and how you got it. Cause I'm just fascinated anyway. But I'm like, if this is what you, and you sound like, you know, renting, what you like is you're no longer tied to just one place. If you want some freedom, there's nothing stopping you from renting for a while, figuring out if you want to buy a property somewhere else, if you want to live in that property, and just have some freedom. You mentioned like the vulnerabilities that renting can open you up to, and I don't know what vulnerabilities, they may be different than owning a home. I don't know, like Tiff, what do you think? Like potential eviction if you can't make your rent payments, well, but then you have a house.
Say, like, you know, with renting, I mean, to me, there's financial vulnerability because you don't really grow anything, right? And it's not necessary, depending on, because I mean, Ramit, I can almost hear in my head, home ownership doesn't always equate to what I know, Ramit. We knew. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, in New York, that makes sense because the amount that you're going to spend or pay, you know, because, you know, owning in New York, it actually probably makes more sense in New York City to rent, you know, in a long financial run. But you know, for many parts of the country, that's not necessarily true. So I just think that, like, I want you to have both. I want you to have, like, if you notice, even though I'm leaning into my rich auntie life, I'm still the budgetista at the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm. Sold that house, double my money, you know, and was like, but I'm still keeping the house I live in right now, because I put this house I bought for $180,000, put $180,000 into it, was that $360,000. The house is now worth well over $450,000, but I'm not selling it. I'm keeping it because it's going to continue to raise. You know, my sister and her kids will live in here, and I'll like likely live in the condo. That condo, you know, we're closing around the $500,000, you know, mark. But I suspect, you know, in 5 to 10 years, that place will be worth more. Although I'm not necessarily going to be selling it, you know. So I'm just saying that, like, as you are pursuing the softer, rich auntie life, it has to be fueled by financial wisdom. You know, so just keep that in mind as you're making these decisions, that we're not just here, like, remember, you're here to tell money what to do, but you want to be telling your money what to do. Like, hey, money, this is the life I want to live. Let me be smart in these choices. So, but welcome, sis. It's cute over here. You know?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sending your question in too. Oh, crap. What's her name? Elle. That was really great of you to send a question. Thank you so much. I want to know, my follow-up question is like, what was your career pivot from being a school teacher? Because I love that kind of stuff. And keep us posted. All right. On your journey. Rich auntie journey. I feel like we have a lot of rich aunties listening to Brand Ambition.
What, girl, right in.
Let's hear for the rich aunties.
We need to exchange. I'm new to this rich auntie life. Well, you know, that's not true. I've been a rich auntie for a minute, but I was a married rich auntie. So now that I'm a single rich auntie, I'm like, what y'all do out here? Like, what else should I be up to? I'm like, I think I want to take up crocheting. I know that doesn't sound as fancy, but I'm like, what happens?
If it's good enough for Michelle Obama, it's good enough for anyone, okay?
Yeah. You know, like, I don't drink wine, but like...
I'm in my We Got Food at Home stage. That's the stage I'm in. Just ask my husband. Every day this week, I'm like, the menu will be leftovers.
I love it.
All right, y'all. Well, we'll see y'all next week for more Brown Ambition. Send us your questions and we will see y'all later. Talk to you later. Bye. Hey, BA fam. We could not do this show without your support or the support of our team behind the scenes. The Brown Ambition podcast is produced by Cumulus Podcast Network. It's edited by the wonderful Imani Crosby and produced by Tanya Bustos. Dennis Stemplinski is our in-house tech guru, and I am Mandy Woodruff Santos, your co-host, and I will see y'all next week.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.